למשך חוכמה, פרשת כי תצא. לא יבוא עמוני ומואבי בקל השם. So we know that these are two nations, Amoni and Moabi, that were banned from coming into Kahal Hashem. Now, of course, don't make the mistake. They are allowed to convert. It's just that we're not allowed to. They can't marry into the Kahal. They can marry people that are not part of Kahal. Namely, they can marry Gerim, Kahal Gerim, Lo Ekli Gerim. They can marry themselves. But they can't come into the, we'll call it the mainstream. Lo Yavo Amoni or Moabi Bekahal Hashem. And we all know what the Gemara says on this. In Yibamot, Amoni velo Amonit, Moavi velo Moavit. So we know how the Gemara is Doresh, that it's only for men, but it is not including the ladies. And that's the story of David, with Doeg and that whole episode. Very good, Haim. So the question of the Mishnah Chochma is, the Gemara must have had a hechreyah when it saw this pasuk to minimize ladies and not men. Because, for example, Doeg's question, lo yavo mamzer, mamzer velo mamzeret? We don't say that. So what was the hechreyah? Now, if you say it's a Kabbalah from Shmuel HaNavi and Beit Dino Kayam, okay, we don't ask questions. It's a Kabbalah, but you have to assume that when Hashem is going to write the Torah, he's going to put in the Pasuk itself some Hechreyah, where you see it has to be referring to that. That it has to be coming to exclude the ladies. There has to be something in the text. Now the text is very, very simple, by the way. Amoni Moavi, what else could you... So Mishra Ma says something unbelievable. He said, let's go now and discuss the reasons. The Torah tells us the reasons. The Torah says two reasons. Number one, that they were not magdim you when you pass by their countries with lechem umayim. So they're cruel. They're a bunch of cruel people. They didn't offer you provisions. And exactly, I mean, we're willing to pay. So it just shows you it wasn't, they're willing to forego profit just for Klais and Chas V'Shalom to perish. So it's the cruelty shebahim. And then it says, Va'ashir sachar, Alechem et Bil'am bin Be'or, which is, that's a Moab item. Moab is the one that, not Amon, that's a Moab item. So it seems that Moab was guilty of two of the crimes, and Amon was guilty of one of the crimes. That if you add to Moab's resume, Moab also, after Bil'am failed, they had the sinister plot of the Zonot, with the Benot Midyan, Moab was behind that. So they're both bad, but clearly Moab is the worst one. And it, what says the Meshech Chochma, that who was born first in Benot Lot? Moab was born first. So he asked a simple question. The Pasuk should say, Lo yavo Moavi va'amoni bekal Hashem. And first of all, because Moab was born first. Secondly, when the Torah is writing it, first you have to tell me the bigger chidush, and then you tell me the less chidush, which means that lozu afzu, that not only Moab that's guilty of all these three things is banned, but even Amon that's not, because once you tell me Amon is banned, so I don't have to tell me Moab. If Amon, which is not as bad as Moab, they only did one out of the two things that the Torah mentions, and Moab did three crimes, so therefore the Torah would not have to write Lo yavo Moavi va'amoni. So why did the Torah then write Amoni and Moavi? Which means Ela, you must be telling that what, that not only is which Amon is the less of the two Lo yavo Amoni. So that's it. Stop right there. So if Lo yavo Amoni, the pasuk can end, and I'll deduce myself v'kol sheken Moavi. The right way to be right is Moavi can't come in. And you know who else? Even a Amoni, even though they're not as bad. Okay, it's a Hadush. Then it's already a Hadush. So he says, no, that's not true. The rabbis, Hazal, saw that. They said the Torah's primary item was not to tell me the Isur. The main primary function of the Pasuk is to come and tell me the Heter. That must be someone from these two nations is permissible, namely the ladies. And therefore it's coming to say like this, that there's a chidush over here, that not only the ladies of Ammon are permissible, but even the ladies of Moab are permissible. So therefore, the fact that the Torah wrote it, Ammon first and then Moab, the rabbi says, oh, there's a reason. Come and tell me something over here. It's got to be a lozu afsu.
It's written in perfect
right. Order. So the lozu afsu can only be al sad ha-hetev. That not only Ammon, that was not so bad. So he said, not so bad. So the ladies will be permissible. But even a Moabi, that they're very bad. Still the ladies are permissible. So the chreyach of Chazal was because of the construction of the Pesukim. That's that. A beautiful, beautiful pshat of the Mishnah Rama. Sweet as sugar. Then we said another hadush.
I'm still digesting. It's incredible.
It's amazing. It's beautiful. Okay. Tell me when you're ready. For the next one. I don't want to. Hazrus Shalom. You ready? Okay. So the next hadush. Tell me about. Oh, we have time. Good. So he said like this at the end of the parasha. Word to the wise, Rabotai. Please do not forget the Hatam Sofer on this week's parasha. Not on this week's parasha, but on this year specifically, tomorrow. Okay. Giving you a heads up. This year is a leap year. So you're not going to hear Zachor until 13 months from the last time you heard it last. Because it's an extra Adar.
Wow.
So the Hatam Sofer says, word to the wise, tomorrow,
better be there.
Tell the Hazan to Mechaven, and tell the Kahal to Mechaven, so at least you'll catch it within the year. And a leap year, tomorrow is a big day, so you got the in. So if you have a shul, you run a shul, tell your Baal Koreh, and he's going to tell you, hey, what are you talking about? For the people who missed it. No, not for the COVID guys. You're right, a lot of COVID guys probably missed it this year too. So therefore, you should have Mechabim for them. But even the non-COVID guys, everybody's going to hear it in Adar Bet. And that's 13 months from, and you have to hear it within 12 months. So he holds it's Medina, not a Humrah. That's Hatam Sofer Shita. So therefore, tomorrow we're going to have a big mitzvah to fulfill. I'll announce it in the Kahal tomorrow. Jack, if I forget, you'll give me a signal, remind me. We'll announce it to the congregation. So right...
It'll be too late.
No. Tomorrow, before Maftir, I'll get up and make an announcement to the Kahal.
Those people are there. They're going to hear it.
Yes. They'll hear it. Beautiful. We want them to hear it. Because the next time they're going to hear it is in 13 months from now. Or whatever. In Adar Ben. From the last time they heard it.
Who were not there.
People are not there. It's too late. I knocked on as many doors as I can. The mailman. So if you look at Rashi in the Perasha, right before it talks about Amalek, it says, Lo ye b'chisecha even v'aven. Right? You're not allowed to have two sets of weights in your stock. What's Pshat even v'aven? Why do you have two sets of weight? You have one weight when you buy merchandise, and you have another weight when you sell. So you're always getting the advantage. You want to get the advantage on the buy, you want to get the advantage on the sales. It depends on what he's doing. What side he's on, he takes out the weight in order to get the advantage. That's Ibn Ra'ab. No, yeah, Ibn Ra'ab. And then it says what? And if you're not going to be careful in measures and weights, you're going to open yourself up to Amalek. That's what happens. That's the simichut in the parashiyot. So according to Amalek, why does Amalek come? Why does the enemy instigate? Because you guys weren't honest in business. We are honest in business, and you have... That's the way the Rashi brings it down over here. So I actually heard once from Rabbi Reisman, may live and be well, Rabbi Reisman is Sadiq, and he quoted from Shimon Schwab. I think it was Kitisa. And he says, wait, but Rashi in Beshalach was the other parasha we read about Amalek. So right before Amalek, in that parasha, it says that the Jewish people said, Hayesh Hashem Bikirbenu Imayin. Remember, they said, oh, is Hashem with us or not? So Rashi said, oh, you see that? They had a Hasaron and Imuna. That brought Amalek. So Rav Schwab asks, hey, make up your mind. Is it the weights, or is it the emunah? So that's a beautiful answer. You got it. That's simple. So Rav Schwab said, Go back to the Gemara and Kiddushin, or wherever it is, we learned it. After 120 years, on Yoma, they're going to ask us some questions. Open book test, we have the questions, 5 or 6 questions, yes or no. There's no fooling around, there's no lifeline, you got to answer true answers. So one of the questions they're going to ask you is, Nasata v'natata be'emunah. So Schwab says it's a double faceted question. Nasata v'natata be'emunah simply means what? Did you transact honestly? Were you honest guy in business? Did you, were you fair? Was it yes, yes? Was your no, no? Did you pay your vendors? Whatever it means, honesty in business. Nasata v'natata be'emunah. When that means be'emet, you went honest in business. But then he says the depth of the question is they're going to ask you, emunah, did you conduct your business with faith? Because if a person has faith in God, so then you don't need to cheat. Then you don't need to, if you believe that all of your parnasah anyway is coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So God doesn't need help. And if you believe that ill-gotten gains are not going to benefit you. And at the end of the day, God's going to take the money and you're just causing him a tirchat to return it to the original guy. Then you're not going to benefit from it. So if a person has emunah, he doesn't have to cut corners and try to make a quick buck. Only when you're lacking anyone, so it's a double-edged question. They say, Nasata benatata be'emunah, which means we can answer that question if you're honest in business by understanding what your level of emunah was. If you tell me emunah was strong, we know already how you were in business. But if you had a hasaron in your emunah, then already you could assume that, if you didn't believe in that everything is from God. So that Rav Shimon Schwab said, it's one and the same. Rashi over here by us is telling us what? If you're not honest with your weights, you're going to make a amalek. And in B'Shalah, it's giving you the source of why a person is not honest in business. Hayesh Hashem b'kirbenu. Because the person questions, is Hashem even watching me? Does Hashem even know what I'm doing? Does Hashem even care? Oh, so once you come to Hashem, it's just one of the same, it's two sides of the same coin. Hayesh Hashem b'kirbenu im'ayin is going to cause you to be non-honest in business. And therefore, ultimately, it's going to bring a person to Amalek. I once heard a beautiful story. When we were young, we used to say, cheaters never prosper. Cheaters never prosper. We used to say that in the context of a punch bowl game. But when we get older, it's not only in the schoolyard you say that. You say it, you see it in life. Anybody that went and cut corners, cheaters don't prosper. I heard an unbelievable story. It's a mashal, but it's a story. It says there was a baker of the town. And every day, he has to get butter. He needs butter to bake his bread. So he goes to the farm. There's an Amma'aris farm over there. And every day he buys a pound of butter from the farm and he pays him. All of a sudden, one day, the baker is baking his bread. And he looks at the butter and he says, you know something? It doesn't look like a pound of butter over here. He puts it on the scale. And he sees, mamash, it's less than a pound. He says, wow, and it's the same size every day. So he said, this guy is really a wise guy. You save a couple of grams here, a couple of grams there. Over the course of time, it's a lot of money. I'm taking the farmer to the Beit Din. He takes the farmer to the Beit Din. So the Dayan, over there, they have scales and everything. They put the butter on the scale. And they see it's much less than a pound. So the judge tells the farmer, you're not ashamed of yourself? What do you use to measure? He says, I'm a farmer. I don't have weights. You don't have weights? So you're just doing by guesstimation? You're cheating the guy for me? He says, no. I just have one of those scales, but I have nothing to put on the other side. But all I know is every day I buy a pound of bread from this baker. So I just put his bread on one side of the scale, and I put the bread. So the judge says, you see, you were cheating yourself all those years. You were the gadam over there. Cheaters never prosper. You thought you're going to sell him less than a pound of bread? He used that as his weight. He says, this is the pound I use. I used his measure. And then what was that happening? Who's the gadam over here? Guilty. You're the gadam. You have to pay for all that bread that you stole. The farmer was innocent. It wasn't his fault. Which shows you think you're going to cheat a guy. But who knows? It's going to come back to hurt you. You're going to cheat, end up cheating yourself. He's actually taking money from his own pocket. So that's another explanation. All right, we'll say one more explanation in the parasha. We said very, very, very beautiful hadush on this Sfat Emet. Sfat Emet All the tzaddikim, when they get to these parashiyot of Elul, they're looking for, you know, Elul stuff. They're trying to get the message. It has to be Elul stuff over there. So everybody right away jumps on the first person. Ki tetzel melchama lo yebecha. Who's oyebecha? Da yetzarara. You're going to the war. We're going to war against the art of war. You have to fight the yetzarara. And then the pasuk says what? Ki tetzel melchama lo yebecha. Which means you need siyata d'shmaya. Like the Gemara says, "El malei Hakadosh Baruch Hu ozro lo yachol lo." If Hashem doesn't help us against the Yetzer Hara, lo yachol lo. Yume'esh. Ani basar badam. Then what does it say? V'shavita shavyo. What does it mean v'shavita shavyo? You will take him as captivity. What do you mean taking him as captivity? It should say you kill him. You decapitate him. Who wants to take him as a captive? You want the Yetzer Hara as a captive in your living room? Get rid of the guy. Get rid of the guy. You want a TV in your living room? Get rid of him. Throw him in the garbage. Recycle him. What does it mean? Shavita Shavio. So I once heard from Rav Palm Alav HaShalom many years ago. Rav Palm, the Shashiva, said, beautiful, clean explanation. He said, and then we know this, that there's two ways of fighting a battle. One is the more efficient way, and one is the less efficient. The less efficient way is the army goes in, kills everybody. Why is that less efficient? Because it would be more efficient if you would take them as slaves. to construct them in the army, into your army now, which means now they're working for you. Why? Free help. So therefore, he said, to kill the Yetzer Hara, that's not efficient. You have to take the Yetzer Hara and you have to machnia him to work for you.
Bring him on your team.
Bring him on your team. He has to work for you. How do you do that? That's the question. But clearly it's a Torah concept because he says when we say Kriyat Shema, what does it say? B'shnei Yitzarecha. What do you mean B'shnei Yitzarecha? I love Hashem with my Yetzer Hatov. I don't love him with my Yetzer Hara. No, you didn't do the job. You have to take the Yetzer Hara and use his negative and turn it into a positive. No question. Yetzer Hara has gluttonous, wants to eat. Good, we'll take that eating. I'm not going to fast all day. I'm going to take that ta'aba of akhira and I'm going to subject it to the Yetzer Hara. There's a ta'aba of kin'ah, so kin'ah sofrim, and the ta'aba of ga'aba, ga'aba de kdusha. And there's whatever the Yetzer Hara has his energies, you have to flip it. Flip it and use it for. But you need his energies. Like we learned in the Gemara Yomah when they prayed for the Yetzer Hara to be destroyed, the eggs were not laying chickens. So therefore you have to use the Yetzer Hara's cohort and just turn it for the... And you can use it for everything. Every midah has a midah in the Kedipah and a midah b'kedusha. So Rapam would say, like it says in the Mishnah Perkot, Ezu ha-gibor ha-kovesh et Yisro. He conquered the Yetzer. He didn't destroy it. How did he destroy it? Kovesh. You conquered him, and now what? You're going to use them. Use them for the right things. So he says, this is what it says by Yaakov Abinu. When Yaakov Abinu and Esav were in the womb, and Rivka Aminu went to Shem Ve'ever to get the beracha. So what does Shem Ve'ever say? Shnei goyim bebetnech, u'shnei le'umim im'ayich yeparedu, u'l'om mil'om ye'ematz, but they say, ve'rav ya'avod sa'ir. That the older one is going to work for the younger one, which is Esav's the older one. V'rav Ya'avod Sa'ir. So he says like this. He says, the Zohar HaKadosh says, when does the Yetzer Hara come into a boy? When he's born. Or at the time of conception. It's a machlok. But let's say when he's born. When does the Yetzer Hara Tov come into a person? At the Bar Mitzvah. So by the way, that's a big thing about Bar Mitzvah. That's what the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says. A Bar Mitzvah is a big thing. It's not Stam, maybe not a Bat Mitzvah, but a Bar Mitzvah is something to the Shbi said, when you make your children's Bar Mitzvah, you should make them as lavish as a wedding. Wow. It's Lashon. Why? Because it's a big day. Ani amarti hayom milaticha. You were born today. A child is born today, gets through neshama. That's where you get pinball machines and you get celebrate in the right way. Video games, and cotton candy, all the nonsense. The point is, that's the day that the child gets his Yetzer Hara Tov. The Arizal said, Or le'arba asar, bodkim et ha'metz le'or aner. Or le'arba asar is when, already when he gets into the 14th year. When is that? The Bar Mitzvah. Bodkim et ha'metz, that's the Yetzer Hara. Now you can start looking for the Hametz Le'or HaNer, because now you got the Ner of the Yetzirah Tov. Now, all our Ba'as and Muslim with the Hametz Le'or HaNer. Now they're ready, the kid, you can start getting rid of the Hametz. Before that, Azid, he doesn't have a chance. So the Pam said, the Yetzirah Ra is 13 years older than the Yetzirah Tov. So he says, V'rav Ya'avod Sa'ir. The goal is that the older one should work for the younger one. That the Yetzirah Ra has to work for the Yetzirah Tov. You have to harness him. And that's the way he explains the Pasuk. Ki tetzeh l'melchama al oyevecha. Who's oyevecha? Yetzirah Ra. Untano Hashem Elohecha b'yadecha. God's going to put the Yetzirah b'siyat Hashem in your hands. But don't kill him. V'shavita shevyo. Take him as captive. Take him as captive. Ezra Gibura Kovetchit. So you have to use the kohot of the Yetzir in order to channel it and to turn it into Yetzirah Tov. Amen. Amen. Amen.